All right, ready to jump into another deep dive. Today, we're looking at a Supreme Court case that's surprisingly relevant, even today, especially for those of you dealing with intellectual property and business disputes.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking American Well Works Co. v. Lane and Bowler Co., a case from 1916 that, believe it or not, is still shaping how we think about jurisdiction when patents are part of the story.
Yeah, you know, what's really fascinating with this case is that it highlights the intersection of patent law and business torts, and how even a seemingly simple legal principle can have a huge impact on, where a case is heard and ultimately how it's decided.
So let's go back in time. What was going on in the early 1900s that led to this legal showdown?
Well, picture this. It's the era of cutting-edge pumps, right?
Pumps,
yeah. And you've got American Well Works, a company that's really proud of their pump technology.
Uh-huh.
But then along comes Lane and Bowler, a competitor, and they start making some pretty serious accusations. They're saying American Well Works is infringing on their patents, filing lawsuits, even going as far as threatening potential customers.
So basically, they're trying to scare everyone off from doing business with American Well Works.
Exactly. Trying to create this cloud of fear and doubt around their products.
I bet that didn't sit well with American Well Works.
No, not at all. I mean, all this legal maneuvering and fear-mongering was causing real damage to their business. Sales were plummeting. The reputation was taking a hit. So naturally, they decided to fight back.
And that's when they sued Lane and Bowler, right?
Okay.
And this is where we get into the jurisdictional puzzle.
You got it. American Well Works files their lawsuit in Arkansas State Court, but Lane and Bowler, wanting to leverage federal patent law, tries to move the case to federal court. So this back and forth, this tug of war over where the case should be heard, goes all the way up to the Supreme Court.
And that's where we meet Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr., a legal legend, stepping in to untangle this jurisdictional knot.
Exactly.
What was his take on this situation?
So Holmes, writing for the majority, laid down a principle that sounds deceptively simple. He said a suit arises under the law that creates the cause of action.
Okay, break that down for us. What does that actually mean in the context of this case?
Okay, so what Holmes is saying is that the core of American Well Works claim wasn't really about patent infringement itself.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, patents were part of the story, sure, but the real issue, the real harm, was inflicted by Lane and Bowler's accusations and their aggressive tactics, the damage to their business.
So it's not a patent law case, but a business tort case.
Exactly. Holmes is focusing on the damage, the harm inflicted, and that falls under state law.
I see.
Specifically, he highlighted the concept of what's called slander of title.
Now, for our listeners who might not be familiar with that term, what exactly is slander of title?
Well, think of it as a form of business defamation. It's essentially making false statements that disparage someone's ownership of property, their title to property.
Okay.
In this case, it was about undermining the validity of American Well Works patent and the legitimacy of their product. That's the slander of title that Holmes said was the real driver of the harm, and that's a matter for state courts.
So even though patents were part of the story, the heart of the dispute, according to Holmes, was this business tort, which falls under state law.
Precisely. And that's what ultimately allowed the case to stay in state court.
Interesting. So this seemingly very technical, very kind of, just a legal principle about the cause of action ends up having a huge impact on the case. But I imagine there were some people who didn't agree with this decision.
Oh, absolutely. This case had a dissenting opinion written by Justice McKenna. He actually argued the patent issue couldn't be so easily separated from the business harm.
Okay, so he felt it was all kind of intertwined.
Yeah, exactly. He believed that the accusations of patent infringement were so central to the dispute that it should be heard in federal court.
So there's this tension between state and federal interests.
Yeah, you've got the state wanting to protect its businesses, and then you've got the federal oversight of patents. It's a tension that, believe it or not, continues to this day.
And it's a tension that's probably only gotten more complex with the rise of all these new technologies and intellectual property questions we deal with today, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And to see just how relevant these, what might seem like kind of old-fashioned principles from American Well Works still are, let's fast forward to a much more recent case, Gunn v. Minton, a case from 2013. It involved a software developer who was suing his lawyers for malpractice. And it really shows how Holmes's logic from back in 1916 is still shaping these jurisdictional decisions today.
A software developer suing his lawyers, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, that's always an interesting story. So what happened in this case?
Well, in Gunn v. Minton, the software developer, Mr. Minton, believed his lawyers really messed up his patent case, cost him a lot of money. He claimed that they should have raised a certain defense that was related to patent law, and because they didn't, he ended up losing his case. So he decides, all right, I'm taking them to court. He files his lawsuit in Texas state court.
So this sounds like a standard legal malpractice claim, which would usually fall under state law, right?
Yeah, that's what you'd think, right? But here's where things get a little tricky. The lawyers, in a pretty clever move, they argue that the case should be moved to federal court because it involved a patent issue.
Ah, I see what they did there. They're trying to use that American Wellworks logic, kind of in reverse, saying, hey, the heart of this case is really about patent law, not just legal malpractice.
Exactly. Spot on. They were basically saying that to figure out if they actually messed up, the court would have to dive into all this complex patent law, which, according to them, made it a federal issue.
So did it work? Did Gunn v. Minton end up going to federal court?
Well, the case actually went all the way up to the Supreme Court. But ultimately, the Supreme Court sided with Mr. Minton and they kept the case in state court.
Another win for state jurisdiction. But how did they apply that American Wellworks precedent to this very different situation? I mean, we're not talking about pumps anymore. This seems a lot more nuanced.
Right. Yeah, it is. But the Supreme Court in Gunn v. Minton, they acknowledged that, yeah, patent law was a necessary element to look at the malpractice claim. They said, yeah, to figure out if the lawyer's alleged mistake really cost Mr. Minton his case, they would have to look at the specifics of patent law.
So they weren't denying that patent law was a part of the case.
Right. But they emphasized that, the cause of action, the real basis of Mr. Minton's lawsuit, was still legal malpractice, and that falls under state law. The patent issue was just one piece of the puzzle, not the driving force behind the whole lawsuit.
So even though patent law was relevant, it wasn't enough to pull the entire case into the federal system.
Exactly. The Supreme Court was basically saying, stick to what Holmes said back in American Wellworks, focus on that cause of action. And in this case, it was legal malpractice. It wasn't about patent law.
This seems like a pretty important victory for anyone who's arguing for state jurisdiction in cases that might touch on patent law, but are primarily rooted in these kind of state-level claims, right?
It absolutely is. Gunn v. Minton is almost like a confirmation, of American Wellworks, showing that decades later, that principle, focusing on the cause of action, is still a powerful tool for navigating these jurisdictional issues.
So for our listeners out there, the people who are dealing with these kinds of issues every day, what are the practical implications here? Why should they care about these cases? I mean, they seem like kind of old, dusty precedents.
Well, I think these cases offer some really valuable insights, especially for lawyers who are dealing with intellectual property and business disputes. It highlights just how important it is to, really think strategically about how you frame a legal claim.
Okay.
Because the way you present your case, the arguments you emphasize, they can determine where that case is heard and what laws will apply.
So it's like a legal chess game
Yeah.
where that opening move really matters.
Exactly. It's all about strategy. If you're the plaintiff and you want to keep your case in state court, even if patents are involved, you really want to emphasize the harm that was caused under state law, like slander of title, unfair competition, or, like we saw in Gunn v. Minton, legal malpractice.
So you focus on the real-world damage to your business, not just the technicalities of patent law.
Right. And on the flip side, if you're the defendant and you want to try and move that case to federal court, well, you're going to want to highlight those patent aspects. You're going to argue that they're absolutely central to the dispute.
So knowing these jurisdictional nuances can be just as important as knowing patent law itself.
Absolutely. These cases remind us that jurisdiction isn't just some technicality, it's a strategic battleground. And choosing the right battleground can really impact your chances of success.
It's not just knowing the rules, it's knowing how to play the game.
Well said. I think that's what makes these cases, American Wellworks and Gunn v. Minton, so interesting. They remind us that even in our complex legal landscape, the most basic principles can be really impactful.
It's about seeing the forest for the trees.
Right. But there's another layer to this, I think, that's worth talking about.
Right.
These cases raise some important questions about, the balance of power between state and federal courts.
That age-old debate. It seems like these patent cases, they give us this interesting lens to look at that tension. So let's dig into that tension, that balance of power. You mentioned that American Wellworks, with its emphasis on state tort law over federal patent law, really kind of feeds into this larger dynamic. How so?
Yeah, well, you could definitely view American Well Works as kind of a victory for states' rights. By keeping that case in state court, the Supreme Court basically said, look, states have a really strong interest in protecting their own businesses from harm, even when patents are part of the picture.
It's almost like drawing a line, saying states still have authority to regulate their own businesses.
Yeah.
Even in areas that are touched by federal regulations like patent law.
Exactly. It's all about maintaining that balance, making sure federal authority doesn't just completely overshadow state jurisdiction every time a patent issue pops up.
But I could also see how this could lead to some inconsistencies, right? I mean, what if we end up with all these different states interpreting patent law in their own way?
Right. Yeah, that's a valid concern. And, you know, Justice McKenna actually brought this up in his dissent in American Well Works. He argued that the federal courts, because they have this specialized expertise in patent law, they're better equipped to handle these types of cases and ensure that the law is applied consistently.
So his argument is really for consistency, expertise, and avoiding a situation where every state is doing its own thing.
Exactly. And that debate is still so relevant today. You know, think about things like internet law or data privacy.
Right.
We're constantly seeing this back and forth between people who want federal oversight for consistency and those who think states should have more flexibility to kind of tailor regulations to their own specific situations.
It's that classic centralization versus decentralization debate, which seems to pop up everywhere.
Yeah, it really is. It all boils down to where that optimal balance of power lies. And honestly, there's no easy answer. You're always trying to weigh the benefits of federal expertise and consistency against the value of states being able to respond to their own local concerns.
So going back to these cases we've been talking about, do you think American Well Works, even over 100 years later, struck that right balance?
I mean, it's tough to say for sure if it's the right balance. Our legal system is constantly evolving, right? But American Well Works and cases like Gunn v. Minton, they give us a framework to think about these jurisdictional issues. They remind us that even when patents are part of the story, the real heart of the matter, that cause of action, often comes from state law concerns.
So the key takeaway for our listeners is to look beyond the patent itself, see the bigger picture, the harm that was caused, and really understand those underlying legal principles.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great lesson for anyone, you know, working in the legal field. Whether you're a lawyer or just starting out, don't get so caught up in the details of one specific area of law that you lose sight of everything else going on around it. The interplay between state and federal power, the strategic importance of jurisdiction, and at the end of the day, the pursuit of justice in a system that's always changing.
Well said. We've covered a lot of ground today, from those early 1900s pump wars all the way to these modern legal battles. But the big takeaway, I think, is that even cases that seem kind of ordinary, like a case about pumps or legal malpractice, they can really have a big impact on our legal system. It shows that the law is always changing, always being shaped by the cases that come before it.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, who knows, maybe in 100 years, lawyers will be studying some of the cases we're seeing right now, dealing with the same questions about jurisdiction and federalism and that balance of power.
Yeah, it really makes you think. And on that note, we'll leave our listeners with one final question to ponder. As technology keeps advancing at this incredible pace, will our legal system be able to keep up? Will cases like American Well Works and Gunn v. Minton still be relevant in a world where those lines between state and federal authority are getting blurrier and blurrier? Only time will tell. But one thing is for sure, the legal battles over jurisdiction, patents, and business torts, they're definitely not going away anytime soon. So until next time, keep those legal minds sharp and never stop exploring the endlessly fascinating world of law.